Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I mean, that's basically it.
Oh, far from it. You've got a lot of red-hot sports talk coming your way right now.
And chicken.
But chicken is disappearing.
Very quickly.
Top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Cats host Nebraska this Saturday at 11 a.m. Tickets remain by now at nusports.com. Our guests today were Mike Florio, Vincent Goodwill, Jay Jaffe, and Hub Arkish. Tomorrow it's going to be Matt Miller, Hub belonging to you, and Patrick Manley a day early because he's rearranging some weekend plans. Brian Gertz had the video feed, Joe Ostrowski the update, Zawoski, Camp, and Diaz the production team. They are here. They are McNeil and Parkins that are going to take you up to six on the score.
Hello, man.
So how was the chicken, Connor? Let's go.
Fellas, this was something else. I told Bernstein, I don't know what I got in Fort Collins, but it wasn't this. This is so good. It is very, very good. And
did it live up to its billing?
It really did.
Usually
I ate
things don't.
I ate the right amount. I ate the certain amount where I'm not in pain. I'm fine. I am filled. I am sated. I'm fine, but
so
I wish I were
enough.
I wish I were in pain. I want the
There's
pain.
More.
Well, I should have eaten more.
Why is there leftover stuff? I mean, Campy and Jay, are they? What's the deal,
no,
fellas?
It's kind of embarrassing, podcast guys.
14 years Catholic guilt is why. I actually looked at the basket of biscuits here, and I said, "Well, we have to leave." Mac
no,
and Parkin some food,
pieces
don't
of
we?
Chicken for you guys.
I ate five.
So did I.
Yeah, I had at least four pieces and two biscuits.
Something's not adding up here.
I think they gave you more than 16.
I asked for 16.
There should
have been some tenders too, right?
There were some tenders.
Yeah, those were going to be. They were at the bottom of the bag, or I would have eaten them on the commute here.
The tenders go down easy.
That's the Doug Buffon where you. Oh, what happened, little buddy? It didn't make it.
Something to tie me over.
I'm driving yesterday, and as I always am, and listening to my guy Brian Billick, and he was so Brian Billick in his response, because I don't think coaches, even smart coaches, get the fact that the win probability added and win expectancy doesn't care about what you think about your team. It doesn't care what what the trends were or what the weather is or who's hurt or who's not.
But those things are what helps comprise win probability, success or failure. Those are factors that go into that math.
That's true. But on balance, the objective is still the what it's showing you is you're still more likely to win the game if you do this and avoid this, even if your punter just got stung by wasps nobody knows, you know?
Doug Peterson, actually, the math backed his decision Sunday to go for two.
Yeah.
By 62%, his chances increased. He went from 50% to 62%. Why is there a 38% on the other side of that? Well, it's because teams fail in certain situations, and I think that's what Billick is saying. If you don't trust your team to get those 2 yards or three, whatever it was, fourth and three.
In
I
the
think,
Eagles situation?
Yeah.
Three. Yeah, it was three.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, you've been watching all day. You have a feel for whether you feel good about it. Are you going to be a part of the 38%? And I think I would understand it if he didn't feel good. Now he felt good about it.
Your point, Mac, is that it's not blackjack.
Like
it doesn't have to be mathematical every time, or else we should have no coaches and no people making decisions, and it's not straight math.
Right. If on the play before, your running back that you would use in that situation was hobbling and the numbers don't understand that you know he just came over and said, "I think I did something to my knee," that's not gonna be the guy that you're gonna give the ball in that situation.
Correct. There's always the human element to it. But the Jason Garrett thing is indefensible. Like, I don't care if I'm the running back.
I would have gone for it there too. Yeah.
Too often, I mean, coaches have those excuses, but I shouldn't even call them excuses because you're right. I mean, they're well considered and it's part of measuring a football game. So I take back the word excuses. But I think too often coaches are unable to look past the failure, regardless of whether it's the team's fault or the running back's fault or not. They're unable to look past the failure and what happens in the post-game presser and what happens after the season if they fail on this well-reasoned decision because they're human beings.
But that's the evolution. That's what's changed.
In the
past, it was they were scared to be the coach that went for it.
The outsider.
Failed and then got criticized for that. Where the evolution now is you're going to be criticized for erring on the side of being conservative.
My other favorite radio sport is hearing Parkins fish for validation of his Mike McCarthy thoughts.
Guys,
that's fun. Becoming, we should get a sponsor for that.
Right? It's fun.
Yeah, get your lodge in Canada to sponsor it because he's hefting out this big lure.
It's Travolta looking around.
Right? He's an idiot. Bad coach.
Well, you know, he's a good football man. Been around good football for a lot of good football time, you know.
I'm telling you, I can't find a Packer fan to call. The lines are open. We broadcast well into Wisconsin. I can't find one to call to tell me that McCarthy's doing a good job.
A majority of them are on your side.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But he also has...
That's my validation.
13 years.
Yeah. Right. It's a long time.
It's criminal, is what it is.
There he goes again.
Aaron Rodgers covers up
chicken.
For a lot, doesn't he?
He does. Well, he covers... Watch that guy play. If he's so much better at what he does than McCarthy is at what he does.
If you're going to be a bad coach, if you're going to not do the things that he does, then at least get along with the guy.
That's what I'm saying.
You would think that there would be a way to get along with the guy. And we do this in cycles of 3 years. They do this in cycles of 3 years. They get themselves to a point where they can't stand each other anymore. Something happens within the office. And then they kind of paste over it for about 3 years, and then it blows up again.
It shouldn't all be on McCarthy. It takes two people to get along or not get along. Some of this falls on your boy, too. Maybe he should whine a little bit less.
Yeah, but one person is great and exceptional, and the other person sucks.
That's a reason to bail on their relationship and make it worse than it already is.
Yeah, but have you ever been, can you relate to being a high-priced talent who's performing
Never.
And not being able to get along with other people who you felt were worse at their job than you were at
Never.
Yours?
Never.
You can't relate to that.
Idea.
Okay.
Tell him your name, sister.
Specific enough, Park. You want to get that?
Yeah.
Nice neutral example there.
I'm not quite sure I'm really finding the strings.
Thank you. I've gotten good at arguing this position.
I don't know. If you could be more relatable with the situation, it would help us.
All right. I'll try to frame it differently next time it comes up, which will be this week because he'll mess something up again.
Which will be in 20 minutes because he'll
probably
mess something up again.
Because it's a slow day, and so we'll get something out of it. Yeah.
Never a slow day here, even though the Cubs bow out just at the same time as the Bears are off.
No problems there.
There never is a slow day.
No, you're
there
right.
There's the joy
right.
of chicken. There's Mental Health Day, which I didn't even know today is National Mental Health
World
Day.
World Mental Health Day.
And as it turned out, I saw who I called my therapist for 13 years or 14, no, longer than that. Haven't seen him in almost 4 years. I had a session on the couch today, not even knowing it was World Mental Health Day.
Wow.
So I'm off to a great start at celebrating.
Can't do it coming up at 4?
Yeah, that'll
be perfect time for it.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that'll be good.
Mac, what was it about recent events that might have prompted this phone call? Actually, he reached out to me, oddly enough.
Oh, maybe just get checked
in on you.
Yeah. Oil change kind of thing?
Partly, yeah.
He wanted to vent.
He needs couch time, too. And his therapist just moved to San Francisco. So,
so you got. Can you divulge things that he confided in you?
I think that's double jeopardy, and he's fine.
That's privileged. I would think
that's privileged, too, right?
He is so anonymous, though. So, no, I think it should be half price today, because half of it was my issues.
Definitely.
It was his.
Well, if you got enough money to move to San Francisco, you're probably doing just fine because I don't know how anybody can afford to live
there. Yeah, that's bad, isn't it?
That's so much money.
You are either spending half your income on your shelter or you're homeless. Those are the only two people that exist in San Francisco.
My sister lives out there. Her husband, my brother-in-law, is a successful computer engineer, went to Purdue, has a great job with one of the high-tech Silicon Valley
firms. And they're paying $8,000 a month for a two-bedroom?
He's among the homeless.
That's the thing. Well, they got the two-bedroom because they just had their first kid, so my sister isn't working, and the two-bedroom is not big.
Yeah.
And?
like, You know what I mean? Oh, just, I mean, I don't know, honestly, exactly how much they pay.
No, it's as bad as Manhattan. It's
owning or renting?
They are, they rent. They rent. They moved, they're in like one of those subdivisions.
Oh, and it's a big number and it's rent.
Oh, it's, an astronomical number because they went from a one bedroom in the subdivision to a two bedroom in it. So it's not like they're not getting anything new out of it except just a room to store their child.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
insane. All those Purdue memories.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's called a bedroom. It's not called a child storage room.
I'm learning,
Dan.
Oh,
man. I got to change the sign.
You can call it a nursery. You can call it a bedroom.
Yeah, a bedroom. They're using it for a good cause.
He has a few life experiences ahead of him.
But it seems very expensive.
It is.
Yeah, no, I was out there. I was like, this place is lovely, but better for you than me.
And when we were there for the Super Bowl, they had already done some sort of like Mobutu style purging of the homeless. They went through, they moved them all out like under some viaduct somewhere to get them out of the city for the Super Bowl, and it was still incredibly visually striking, the number of people lying in doorways and literally lying on the street. You're stepping over people everywhere.
Homelessness higher in Frisco than any other major city? Is it? Seattle's very high, too.
Los Angeles is very high.
Los Angeles, I mean, go west and warm.
West and warm. I mean, that's one thing about, like, Santa Monica, where it's this, I mean, one of the nicest little suburban areas you can find, and every single storefront has three people lying there. And there just recently there's been a question, especially considering the liberalism of the area in Silicon Valley, saying how can you be this way? How can you have, with the way you vote and what you say you're concerned about, how can you have all these people homeless? And now there is a movement to get some of the chip makers and some of these firms to pay a tax, to say, look, you should be advocating to tax thyself to help get these people off the streets and into homes. And
makes sense.
It does, right?
Of course it does.
It's gaining some traction. Put your money where your mouth is. If these are things you care about elsewhere and care about nationally, it's all happening right, literally
at your doorstep.
At your doorstep.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Good luck with that.
Good luck making that hit home when it matters.
A lot of those guys talk the game, but you make that kind of money and figure that every Monday you need a blood transfusion from some young, infit person. That lifestyle doesn't fit with all.
They
doesn't
get on their helicopter and go back to their mountain lair. Yeah,
it always did seem smart though. If you're going to be homeless, go west.
Go west.
Go where it's warm.
New York City though. Connor just pulled it up.
New York City still number one. Los Angeles City and County two. Seattle and King County three.
How about Vegas? It's expensive and far.
Have you heard about what's going on? Have you seen the stories in Vegas about people?
They're seventh.
Underground cities. There's a huge tunnel network in Vegas. That was, and I forgot the reason for transporting certain things or for moving money from casino to casino. And there's like these escape from New York, like tunnel cities that are going on there.
It's actually for the pending Mad Max Thunderdome reality that we're all encroaching on.
It's kind of
just to stay
like the Pedway downstairs. What are you talking about?
It's in case of
Thunderdome.
As commercial like that. Not with like shot. It was explained to me in a way I didn't quite understand. I don't know if it was drainage.
Okay.
But it was their
shelter.
Underground areas in Las Vegas that are filled with people who are starting their own communities.
It's all a routine training exercise.
you a Mad Max guy too? I know Bernstein is a Mad Max.
Oh, God, yeah.
Are you?
No, those movies are great.
You're not?
No.
They're so bad and so good all at the same time.
I was offended it was nominated for an Oscar a few years ago.
Fury
Road? I did love the guitar player on the front
Warrior.
Of the truck. Yeah. That was fun, but no, it wasn't for me.
That movie was so great. I didn't know what to do.
I know you loved it.
I wanted
it,
to jump out of my own skin.
It's
so good.
How you and I like a lot of the same, but when we differ hard. And on that one,
you didn't
was
like
just
it at all.
Nothing about
Terry
it.
Terry didn't like it either. I was so excited. I recommended it so highly. He's like,
that's not a Terry movie.
He's like, that wasn't any good. That was no good. I do
did
like
he see it.
Yeah, he saw it.
Because often he says he didn't like it. Tim Robbins in it. That movie sucks.
But when you think of the plot is get in a car and go over there and then come back.
My kind of movie.
Right?
Yeah.
That's, I gotta see it.
No need to complicate this.
That's the plot.
Something that did stick with me, though, at the beginning of the film when he said, what did the guy say? Do not become accustomed to water. You will resent its absence. Isn't that
Aqua-Cola.
Isn't that the principle behind every addiction, right?
Pretty much.
You will resent its absence. Yeah. Water. Yeah, I'm like, wow, that's...
But we're not really addicted to water.
You have to have
I am not.
Yes. Well... No, you certainly are not. Because,
I can live without water, it'll be fine.
Yeah, because you're a succulent of some kind. You don't know. But the scenes of the grotesque... The way they cast all of those grotesque... people. I don't know how they have the casting call for that. Like, if you're hideously ugly, if there's something, you've been through a horrible chemical exposure,
right.
We want to have you in
we
this
got the movie.
Movie
for you. Right?
Yeah, special effects were phenomenal. So you want to give him an Oscar for something like that? Yes, but that wasn't the intention. When they first started the Academy Awards for films like Mad Max Fury Road, no.
Well, now they've got the popcorn Oscar, right? That's the award.
They floated that, and they're.
They didn't do it?
I don't think so.
Oh, thank God.
What? It was a trial balloon. I don't think the response was so bad. It's like,
we passed it off as done.
I liked it. I don't think it's.
Why, Michael
done.
Bay needs an Oscar?
No, but you don't have to be as condescending about it. It could be. Superhero movies, the movies that people actually like, things that get stars to actually go to the Academy
Awards.
Yeah,
Black Panther. But some of those could have won on their own merits.
Yeah, Black Panther might be one of the nominees.
Yeah, Black Panther could win both. Black Panther could win Best Picture and
Well, if
popcorn
you win
movie.
Best Picture, the popcorn movie is kind of like hanging the Nashville Predators Western Conference Championship
regular
banner up,
season.
Even though they didn't do it. That was a good one.
Come
really?
On. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But no, I know about that, but why would it be? We made the movie that the most people liked and made the most money and was the most entertaining. That's an Oscar that you wouldn't want to win?
I don't know that was the purpose of the Oscars to get going.
Popcorn, to me, when I understand from the description of the popcorn was popular but not art.
Yeah,
no one is pretending this is a great film. This is just an enjoyable film.
Yeah, winning the box office is your Oscar for that. Your money, you can go smelt your own trophy with all the money that you've made.
Well, sure, but I mean, the Academy is so smug, and the Oscars are so smug and so unrelatable.
And racist.
So ivory tower that, like, perish the thought of trying to be a little bit more inclusive to, fun movies that people actually go to the theater for.
But again, that's not the purpose of the Academy Award.
Until we decide to make it the purpose of the Academy Award.
I guess.
Like, what's wrong with a little bit of change? Like, cinematography and foreign short film belong, but...
Yeah. Have you ever met these two before?
But Star Wars doesn't? Like, I don't understand. Why?
You're threatening my elitism. That's why.
Yeah, okay.
This is where I stand with Bernstein.
So far, the examples that you've given me are movies that could all win an Academy Award on their own merit. Like...
This is its own merit.
Phantom Menace. Well, yeah, but Phantom Menace is never going to win any own Oscar, right? I mean, it's just because people went to see it doesn't mean that it's good.
But it never said that the movie that made the most money won the Oscar.
Then what's the Oscar for?
The best enjoyable movie.
Best
mass appeal.
Most enjoyable or artistically believed to be the best made movie.
The highest grossing never flirted with nominations. Was the most recent Jurassic leapfrogged Avatar is the high, I'm pretty sure.
Right, but
highest,
Avatar had probably a lot of nominations.
Titanic.
Right, and Titanic had a lot. Right, but it's not mutually exclusive. Like, I would think that there would be a lot of years where Best Picture also would win, if we're going to call it the Popcorn Oscar. But if in a year where Spotlight wins Best Picture, fill in the blank other good entertaining movie came out, it doesn't mean that the movie that made the most money has to win it, but a movie that people see and like has star, because I watch the Academy Awards every year and I don't know many of the movies that are nominated. And now if
you gotta work at it.
Well, no, we do.
Sherry and I work at it. We watch all of them every year before the awards.
And I told you when we launched the show that, like, however many there are this year, I will watch all of them because you watch all of them. But, like, Shape of Water? No, man. Like,
yeah.
I'm good.
I've had that DVD on my coffee table since it was shipped to me, and I have not watched it.
I'd much rather watch the new Mission Impossible than Shape of Water.
The guy who played the Shape of Water was a Ball State Cardinal. We had that going for us.
Seriously?
On Oscars
the guy
night.
Who was the sea monster?
Yes. I learned that on Oscars night. Yeah.
You've got that guy and Boom
Letterman,
Goes the Dynamite.
That's Joyce good. DeWitt. They throw the celebrities at.
David Haw.
Jim Davis, the creator of Garfield. old. Did I say Joyce DeWitt? Drunk Joyce DeWitt?
Yeah. Yeah,
I had a great mugshot. It was Nolte-ian.
Ben Rosen, if he makes it through.
Yeah, if he makes it through, he's off to a good start.
I think he'll probably make it.
So
yeah, my daughter got the recruiting letter from Ball State the other day. They're starting to show up now.
Does she have a discipline picked out yet?
A discipline? No. She'll go to a small liberal arts school somewhere.
Yeah.
No, I don't think she knows exactly what she wants to do. But I think even Ball State is probably too big and sportsy for her.
Really?
Yeah. She does not.
Oberlin.
On the list.
Center to Crunchy College.
Oberlin's on the.
It's a good school.
It is. That is when you know the limitations of where you are on the spectrum. That is so far left crunchy.
It is crunchy, crunch, crunch.
Ultra, super granola. So, I mean, it would not be for me.
All of your hemp will be provided for you.
And throw away your razors.
sports question for you guys. I heard it on the show earlier. When you say, like, Jimmy Butler thinks he's better than he is, no question, as does basically every player in the NBA. But like when he's a free agent next year, he's going to have a dozen teams lining up to give him a $150 million contract, right? So like that's how good he is.
I don't know. He's almost 30.
Yeah, I know. But they've got plenty of money.
With what Vincent Goodwill called Tom Thibodeau minutes on him.
Agreed. But like the reason that there's not a huge market for Jimmy Butler right now is because there's only 1 year left. It's this close to the season. Teams have spent their money, and he's obviously not the easiest guy to deal with.
Right.
If he's a free agent, there's a huge market for Jimmy Butler because he's still awesome.
No doubt. But part of his demanding a trade by Friday and not understanding those constituent elements about having a trade and what a value is, doesn't that kind of imply that he thinks he's better than he is?
I'm agreeing with you. I'm just not using it as a pejorative. Like, all of the NBA players think that they're better than they are.
No doubt about it.
You know, and Jimmy Butler is really valuable and really good. He's just not quite as good as he thinks he is.
He's not good enough to get past the situation. He's not good enough to get what he's worth in a trade market, given the elements around him.
Yeah, but best player on a champion.
But neither was Carmelo, neither was Chris Paul, neither was James Harden. Almost no NBA player that demands a trade, actually you get 100 cents on the dollar.
I think you could make the argument that some of those guys understood those situations when they were in them, though.
I don't know if Jimmy Butler understands or doesn't understand the situation that he's in. I think he's just done playing for Tibbs and wants out of Minnesota because he's a diva and wants back in a big market.
I think that's probably true.
But like,
and that's his right. He gets to be a diva if he wants to be.
Yeah, but I guess I just, like, I'm not defending Jimmy Butler.
No,
I'm just acknowledging that, like, he's going to get paid a lot of money.
Well, everybody, both get paid a lot of money. Everybody gets paid a lot of money.
Well, so then he's really valuable.
He's really rich.
But I mean,
I'm just saying that he's.
But he's a really, really good basketball player who is going to get paid a lot of money.
Whose contract will eventually be bad at some point.
I just think every contract's eventually bad.
Higher discrepancy than most between where he believes he is in this league's pecking order of stardom and where he actually is relative to how he helps you win a title. I think he sees himself like Harden and LeBron James and Russell Westbrook and these guys because he's made a couple All-Star teams.
Have you ever seen Jabari Parker?
Yes.
Or Zach LaVine.
Yeah, well, like, that's the thing, right? Jimmy is so much better than those guys.
No.
And will be paid more.
But age matters. He's
Jimmy's at worst a top 15 player in the league.
He's probably about 15th.
So if he thinks he's about 7th, it's not that ridiculous. Like I feel like that's in line with like the NBA ecosystem of ego that makes the league so awesome.
The ecosystem, right? Coined that. That's
yeah,
good.
You know,
and when
you're
top 15 player, you get a max contract,
right? Like, isn't he going to sign a 5-year, $175 million deal next year?
Maybe he has to do like a 4-year max. You know, he'll have to do a 4-year max.
He's gonna get paid so much money that it's like it's hard for me to be like, and they're gonna know it, too much ego.
And they're gonna know it's a bad contract from day one, but they know years one and two are gonna be worth it.
You try to win there. So
yeah,
I mean,
it's the right team he can be second fiddle to an actual superstar.
Yeah, and so I don't even look at that as a defense of Jimmy Butler. It's just like an acknowledgement of the marketplace that he's operating in, which makes him a superstar. He is a superstar.
Yeah, by virtue of the availability of money, sure.
Yeah,
and obviously his talent. Yeah, and obviously his talent. I mean, I kind of thought that was the given, but yeah, I mean, that's, guys get money.
So yeah, I guess I just like the criticism of him. Like, okay, if you don't like demanding a trade or he thinks he's better than he is, whatever. It's like he's awesome and he's going to get paid a lot of money. So that's why he thinks of himself that highly, because he's right.
So if he goes back to the team and plays this year, is there anything that can happen that's going to damage his ability to maximize his open market value?
An injury.
That would be the only thing, which happened last year.
Yeah. I mean, if he plays for Minnesota, gets hurt, he gets less money. But if he is Jimmy Butler this year and averages whatever,
or if he pouts his way through
so
a season,
Kawhi the
fights
thing.
With fights with Karl Anthony Towns,
Kawhi the thing.
It takes whatever shot he wants. Which that's the stuff that was going on with Derrick Rose.
I mean, he'll probably sign the contract with a bad team, like the Nets will sign him to $150 million deal and say, "Hey, look, we just bought relevancy. We just bought 40 wins.
That
we
might
have Jimmy
be the right place for him."
Right, I agree. Like, I'm not saying Jimmy Butler's ever going to win a title.
Okay,
or you know what I mean. But it's just like he's still an awesome basketball player and will get paid as such. And that's, I think, what leads to the ego, because he sees these other guys that he thinks he's equal with demanding their ways out of town.
You mentioned you have can't do it today. What else?
Not much. No, just kidding.
Some football discussion. I got a really good NFL brain teaser that's going to challenge the crew today.
And what time?
It's germane to something going on in the news. A piece of news I picked up yesterday. Think about this. I was stunned when I saw a headline that the Eagles were interested in reacquiring their all-time leading rusher, mm-hmm. LeSean McCoy. And I'm thinking, LeSean McCoy in those 5 years? I mean, the Eagles have been around a long time.
Yeah.
So we're going to look at somebody, another team that has a record that needs to fall at some point, and it's shocking how long it has stood.
Mitch Trubisky and Matt Nagy speak. Mark Rohde will join us at 3. Lots of football, baseball. We've got a lot of fun sound today that we've been going through. So we'll just be
jury duty, too. We got to talk about jury duty, because Danny Plesac's in jury duty today. Someplace you'll never find me.
Yeah, Mac doesn't believe in jury duty.
I don't believe in it.
You don't believe in the jury system?
I don't believe I should be a part of the jury system, right?
Okay, yeah, I'm
going to hang out.
I like it at the criminal courts because you get the young Lester Holt with the 80s mustache who goes through your instructions.
Talking out
you.
Of the side of his mouth.
Yeah, it was a handsome man. Still is. All right, we'll be listening, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.